Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts, Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
Now, I'm just going to look at the time. We normally do this at 8 o'clock, okay?
Yep.
And it's not 8 o'clock, Tobe. So can you tell everyone why we are running 10 minutes late?
We are running 10 minutes late because I've cut my finger. Oh,
now, most people would ask, how did you cut your hand with an axe? And your answer is, I was doing the kindling.
Yes. Yeah. So I've cut it with the axe. And I was cutting some kindling and I had a bit of a shocker.
Doesn't surprise me, mate, to be honest.
No, it shouldn't.
Although you're an incredibly in saying that, you're an incredibly coordinated young man normally.
I know, weird, eh?
But on this occasion, when you're wielding a rather large weapon.
Shall I have a look at it?
No,
because there's a lot of blood. Hang on,
I bet you it's like a paper gun.
Hang on, where are you,
Should
I let you look inside?
So, no, that's disgusting. Oh wow,
it's quite a lot of blood. Okay, but I'm okay. Stop bleeding.
Now, on a much lighter note, I've come back from my daughter's birthday meal.
Have you?
So there
you're
you go.
Having. We're doing the podcast on her birthday.
No, her birthday's tomorrow, but she has netball tomorrow. So we went out and we came back.
Nice.
Priorities.
Where'd you go?
Absolutely. Went to a little Italian called Albivio's.
Oh, that's nice there, eh?
Well, yeah, nice and nice price. That's all I've got to say.
Real nice price for them.
I'm still hungry.
Jeez.
And I've just shelled out 90 odd pounds.
Good portions. Not.
Oh, geez. Anyway, I was bent over and taken one. But anyway, there we go.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I know.
What? Today? Hey, how old is she now? Is she 15?
15 tomorrow. Yeah,
wow.
15 tomorrow. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
Gee, I remember when she was a young little whippersnapper.
Absolutely. She still is.
Yeah.
She's
taller than you.
Yeah, she's getting pretty close. Mate, anyway, we better get on with the show.
Yes.
So I wanted to pick out, we've got some messages from our supporters, okay? But the big one was one from Razzler the Dazzler.
Oh, shock.
Who has basically been our overseas correspondent for the podcast.
He literally has been on the Gaza Strip.
Absolutely. Fighting the good fight for the podcast. He's been to all 3 days, every match he was there, reporting back to us.
Oh, Blow by blow. That's what the WhatsApp was all about, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? I mean, I have to say, I was very jealous. Very jealous as I woke up on a rather cool Saturday morning, Friday morning, and then Sunday to be thinking and looking on and thinking it does look fantastic there. But anyway, he goes on. He mentions a lot of things. We'll talk about the games a bit later. But he mentions the kind of final thoughts of the weekend, which I thought was quite interesting. Of the three Super Rugby Melbourne has hosted, Super Rounds Melbourne has hosted, this has been the best as far as matches go. You know, they're all really good matches. They obviously thought about it and picked the right matches. But it was the least supported and the least publicised, okay? Which I thought was quite interesting because this is a, I mean, you know, it's a big deal taking it to Melbourne, isn't it? Melbourne is not well known for supporting rugby.
Nope.
And they've done it three times. You would imagine they'd want to get it right rather than just continually wrong. So it's a bit disappointing to hear that, you know, because other than the crowds, you couldn't pick a better stadium for it. You couldn't pick a better place as far as Australia goes. Yeah. The players must love it as far as that is. And it could be an absolute winner chicken dinner, but no one turns up to watch.
No, they don't. It was a bit.
So there you go.
Disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought on the second day it was Pacifica Day, okay? And you had Fiji playing Moana Pacifica, which was a great match.
Yeah.
And hardly anyone there watching.
I know.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, take it to somewhere that's going to have people watching. That's like the first thing on your list. Will people come and support it? Tick. Will the players like it? Will they like going there? Tick. You know, will it be affordable? Tick. But there's no point doing something where no one turns up to watch.
Yeah, I think imagine taking it to Fiji.
Oh, yes, that would be.
It'd be
you
great,
know what?
Wouldn't it?
Be bloody good for tourism. Be great for the players. All the players would enjoy it. Yep. I just don't think they've got the facility to host that number of games and, you know, everything that needs to happen around it.
Yeah.
But I love the idea. Love the idea. Mate, do you want to, which I'm dreading, by the way, do you want to take us through the Super Brew?
Oh, I will do. I had it up. I will take you through the Super Brew. Okay. Oh, so we are looking. So here's our top four. Okay, we've got Cheers for Bears, Damo.
Oh, like that.
John Boy, 237, and Turunu. It's the same bloke. Had a shock. But to be fair, there is 1, 2, 3 of them on the same points. So John Boy, Turano, 15, and Ben Affleck are all on the same points. But can I just say, first went up 18, second went up 26, third went up 28, fourth went up 11, fifth went up 12. So there's been some big movers, some big
now,
movers.
Now
I went up one place. So I'm at 15th, and you, my friend,
you're at 44th.
But
am I above Coley the Poley? Am I above Coley Poley and the Razzler Dazzler? That's all I would need to know.
You are the Razzler the Dazzler is 72nd, and Coley the Poley is 76th.
Yes, that's where the real competition's happening this year, everybody. That's right. It's not between me and Toby.
Are you not bothered about me?
Well, I am, but I'm so far behind that I'm trying to just bring some life into my own competition.
Yeah, you are a long way back.
Plus, unlike you, I don't look at the betting odds.
Why has this become a thing?
Well, last year,
Toby's been looking.
Okay, all I've got to say is last year we muted the idea of a secret group of people who would come together and say that they weren't going to use the betting odds when they bet. And you said you wouldn't use the betting odds. And guess what you're using?
I'm not using the betting odds. Why is this a thing?
You so are using the betting odds.
I'm not.
You even admitted it last week on the show.
I did not. This is ridiculous, Damien. I don't like
it. Oh, well, there you
attitude.
Go. You've heard it. You've heard Stinks. It here first. Toby is not using the betting odds.
Thank you. And don't put any winks in there, boy. Hey?
There was no winks. If I wink, I look right weird, so no chance. Mate, it's time for breaking news.
It is. Proudly supported by our Patreon members.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely. If you'd like to become a Patreon member, link below.
Yes, link below, and you will join our WhatsApp group.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. My first one, Damo. Okay. Zach Mercer, Bini Vonopola. They're linked to going back to the top 14.
Now, what are your thoughts?
Now, well, Zach Mercer came over, didn't he? Went to, where is it? No, Gloucester. Went to Gloucester. Yep. And I think, was it sort of Steady Eddie was like, mate, you come over, we'll get you in the England set up, we'll get you playing. Or it was Steve Borthwick, maybe. He came over, he got a bit of a sniff, didn't he, in the England set up extended squad, and then nothing. Hasn't been promised anything. Borthwick staying with his trusty squad that loses all the time. And he looks like he's going back to Montpellier.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, he started off in Bath, didn't he? Played for Bath.
Yeah.
Got capped for England. Then was left out in the wilderness by Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones didn't like him because he didn't like the gym, apparently. He's not a big gym buddy.
No, he's not huge, but he is very mobile.
Yeah. Then he goes to Montpellier and wins, I think, Player of the Year.
Player of the Year, 2022.
Okay. And obviously is ripping up a storm over there. People are talking it up, saying he's a hell of a player. And you got to remember, playing in France against some of the biggest, most mobile, best players in the world at the time. You know, this is the France team that were rated number one in the world. He's playing in their league, ripping it up.
Yeah.
He gets the call to say, we'd be interested if you can come back to England. Comes back to England, obviously gets treated pretty badly, and his England dream's probably, you'd say, over now, isn't it? Borthwick.
I would think so,
Doesn't like him.
No.
Doesn't like
him. For one reason or another.
Probably because Borthwick is boring and Zach Mercer plays a decent game of rugby.
Yeah, he's an exciting, you know, I wonder how he'd do in Super Rugby.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Like he'd be good. He'd be good. He plays a nice game. And arguably, if he went and played Super Rugby, he hasn't played for England for 3 years, and he could actually make the All Blacks.
Could do. Yeah.
He could actually also make the Scottish team, I believe.
I think, did he play age group Scotland? No, he didn't. He didn't. He didn't.
No, I think he did. I think he did age group like really young.
Right, Scotland. 16s or something.
Yeah. So but anyway, it's all out. He's got some options. But if I was him, I'd take the money. I'd go to France, a couple of years at France. And then, you know what? I fancy a sniff at that Super Rugby and see how I go.
Yeah. Well, it says here, Zach Merce has been quite outspoken about his ongoing England omission. And as a result, have been fears that he sabotaged his chance of working his way back into the England squad. I think he's been treated badly, and he's letting people know that he's been treated badly. He's not just letting it slide.
And also, I've read some of the stuff. He's just been honest. Yeah. It's not really like he's just said, as it currently stands, I'm not thought of highly enough by the England coaching staff, hence why he's not getting picked.
Yeah.
And he needs to go away and improve his game of rugby. It isn't what they're making it out to be, which is, you know, him slagging off Steve Borthwick. No,
he's just telling the truth, like you say.
He's just saying, at the moment, I'm not good enough in their eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got to go away and do something about it. Mate, my first story is about Anton DuPont. Okay. Mm-hmm. It says here in the thing that he helps France end a 19-year drought in the Sevens series win in LA. Okay, so France have gone and won the competition, 19 years drought, okay? Now,
yes.
When people say this, I have to say I do get a little bit like, has he really helped them win it? Or are France just quite good, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's absolutely amazing.
Get me wrong. He's great.
He's a hell of a player, but I tell you what, yeah. He's an even better sevens player. Yeah. I mean, you know, I can look back in the days where Carlos Spencer, Joan Lomu would play 15s and then come and play sevens and would absolutely rip it up. Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, Jonah in sevens was unreal.
Yeah. Okay. Anton DuPont's doing kind of a similar thing where he rips it up on the 15s pitch. He goes across to sevens and he is the best player in the seven series, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, the sevens is kind of like 15s players that can't quite make it. Or they're coming
don't know,
up,
mate.
You know, like, well, you're not listening to me. You've interrupted me once again, okay? You look at Caleb Clark was a sevens player, then moved to 15s. Rico Ioane was a sevens player, then moved to 15s. Okay, and there is a huge number of youngsters that have started in sevens, got their foot in the door, and have then progressed.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that front.
Okay, great.
Front.
That's great. We can move on if you want.
But what I would say is that we've had it on the other side where you've had top 15-a-side players coming back to play in the sevens and not making it into the team. Caleb Clark being one of those players who
gave up
a chance to play for the All Blacks. Okay. Sonny Bill Williams, fantastic 15s player, goes to sevens, doesn't really make the impact that you would imagine. Michael Hooper, one of the best flankers in the world, has gone to sevens, struggles to make the team. I do think you're right, younger players earning their craft and whatnot, but I do think, you know, Anton DuPont is a rarity. Someone who's quite established in the 15s game has gone back and has been just as good, if not even better, than his 15-a-side performances.
Okay, so this leads actually quite nicely onto my next story. And it says, DuPont showing he is the greatest of all time. What do you think of that, Damien? Is he the greatest rugby player of all time? Cross code in a way, 15s and 7s.
You know what? It is and it isn't. It's hard to say because he's still in his career, for one. What has he achieved? He hasn't won a truckload of Six Nations. He hasn't won the Rugby World Cup. He's been captain. He's probably had the best team at the World Cup and they couldn't win. So he is a hell of a player. Absolutely no doubt is he a hell of a player. Is he the greatest of all time? I would argue to say that, I mean, you couldn't say Jonah's the greatest of all time. He was a hell of a player in that position, but he wasn't the greatest player of all time. Dan Carter, I would say, would give him a bloody good run for his money. And so would, for me, Christian Cullen. That guy was just, he did things that no one else could do. Yeah, arguably DuPont's doing things no one else can do as well.
If you're saying, maybe this could be a debate for another time, but if you're saying the greatest of all time, Christian Cullen, what did he win?
Yeah, again, you know, same problem.
You know,
though,
if you're going down that line, what did he win? You could say Daniel Carter, greatest of all time because of points, because of what he did World Cup-wise. You could also say Richie McCaw. Was Richie McCaw the greatest player of all time?
No.
Yes, no.
But maybe. he was the greatest leader of all time, I'd say.
Okay, you but know, before we're not him, having that debate, are we? So it's
no, you're saying, is he the greatest player? I'm saying no. He's not the greatest player,
but, I would say
he's the greatest leader, and that made him instrumental in New Zealand's success in that time.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Mate, it's a bloody good debate, that, isn't it? I mean,
very
what you do you think? Do
Johnny
you
Wilkinson.
Think he's the greatest of all time? Oh, No.
I'm not saying he is, but you could, you know. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, you'd be that.
Like that. I don't think he's the greatest of all time. I think he's a very good player.
Who do you think's the greatest of all time then?
Well, Daniel Carter, probably.
There you go. Case closed. And he had to be a Kiwi.
Couldn't be anyone else.
Couldn't be anyone else. No, couldn't be anyone else. Okay, my second story is super round players who caught the eye of Joe Smith. All right, but this is not really the story, okay? But I did think it's as a segue into my story, which is this. We've got two new coaches, don't we? We've got Joe Smith and we've got Razor. And what better time to play rugby for New Zealand and Australia is now, because you've got a new chance to impress. You've got someone who you think, right, get on the right side of, I really show them. Then you've got a future few years of being picked in the team. Whereas if you're a Hosking Satutu under Fozzie, you knew you weren't going to get a run out. If you're an Akira Iwani, you weren't going to get a run out. If you're a Shooter Stevenson, you weren't going to get a chance. Whereas now you can see all these players who are going for gold, on a weekly basis and trying to catch the eye of these new coaches. And you can see that with the Aussies. How much better have the Aussies been? And I think a lot of it's because they've got a new opportunity to impress someone and they're going for it.
I also think, you know, they've got, like you say, they've got something to play for now. You know, there's someone new come in. They're going to want fresh blood, you know. They've got new ideas. And I think the Aussies are playing great rugby.
Yeah, I think...
Well, maybe not great rugby, but they're beating the Crusaders.
I wondered when that was coming in. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't knock, and we are going to caught your eye, but you've got the Waratahs beating the Crusaders. You've also got the Reds challenging, you know, right down to the wire, the Hurricanes, and this is going for times where we would say, you know, New Zealand teams would go and rumble over all the Aussie teams barring one or two games in a year. You know, the Brumbies would beat the Highlanders or, you know, but normally the Aussie teams would struggle maybe apart from the Brumbies, whereas it's just not the case this year by the looks of it, which I think is quite interesting, and it's going to make the competition far better if, you know, if these games continue to be dogfights, which is what it was. So, mate, we might as well go over and say, what caught your eye over the weekend?
I think last week we spoke about the Hurricanes looking like one of the maybe, you know, one of the front runners along with a couple of other teams. And then, you know, to the Reds went right down to the wire. I know that the Hurricanes had a red card, but to me, I think the Kiwi teams just looked a bit rusty.
I agree with that. But what I would say is, if I go through the games, a couple of things that I spotted was, if you look at the Rebels Force game, there's a lock called Cannon, right, for the Rebels. You know, he's definitely one to watch. If I was Joe Smith, I'd be looking at Cannon and saying, good player, good strong ball carrier, good offloads. I like the massive comeback in the second half.
Yeah.
The Force made, to look
huge.
To
was
look
it like
good.
30 points?
Yeah, yeah. And then Carter Gordon impressed, apart from his boot. You know, if I'm Joe Smith, I'm probably thinking the same thing that I've thought about the New Zealand team for a while. Who's going to kick me goals in finals footy?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a goal kicker.
No.
You know, luckily for him, neither does the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Then it was the Highlanders Blues. Highlanders look good, mate. And the Welsh wizard, who's
he's looking all right, isn't he?
He's looking good. Now, I picked up a few things. I listened to quite a few podcasts, and people were talking about, are New Zealand commentators arrogant? And unfortunately, normally I'd say no, but on this occasion, the way that they were talking, like, you know, this Welsh player. You know, he offloaded, he scored tries, he looked really good. And they're trying to say that, oh, it's only because he's playing in New Zealand and, you know, he never would have done that in Wales. And you're just like, oh, for God's sake, the guy's a good player. You know, he's a good player. He's come over here and he's doing great. He's doing absolutely brilliant. And, you know, just lay it off. You know, just because we come from New Zealand doesn't mean we play the best rugby. We've got the best rugby players. You know, it's just a bit, it was a bit too much, I thought.
Yeah, but also, you know, also, if we're saying that, you could go, well, the game plan of Wales isn't quite the game plan of the Highlanders.
No. And maybe that's part of the reason why he's not an international 10 anymore.
Maybe, yeah.
But I tell you what, I said it, didn't I, last week? I think he looks like an international 10. And I think if he can stay fit, I would not be surprised if he reignites his career playing for the Highlanders for the season. So I thought it was good. Hoskins, mate, got 3 tries on the weekend.
Yep, very good.
I love the Blues hairdo. Just got... Yeah, good hairdo. Someone mentioned they thought he'd put on a few kgs, but actually I think he's gone the other way and taken a few kgs off.
Oh, really?
But, you know, it was interesting when you mentioned about the fact that, you know, the word on the street is he's quite a lazy character.
Yeah.
You know, he put a shift in on this game, that's for sure.
There you go.
Moana Pacifica, Fiji, what a game of rugby that was.
Oh.
Massive.
Can I just say, I was a bit disappointed with Fiji. You know, we were like, well, you know, they didn't do so well in the first sort of Super Rugby that they were in. Second one, they did really well. You know, they got right there, didn't they? And then we thought this could be it for them, you know, off a really good World Cup as well. And then they've just fallen straight on their backsides, haven't they?
Against
Moana Pacifica as well, who were the Donkeys last year.
Yep. They're not the Donkeys though now, are they?
No, definitely not. They've got a good, you know, strong team.
The Highlanders are not the Donkeys. And
nope.
Moana Pacifica put up a great fight last week. They've obviously won against the Jura. Now, what worries me, mate, is the Crusaders have got the Jura on the weekend
at home in Fiji. Yeah, but, you know, it's a double donkey, isn't it? Old Sherpa Donkeys, old Sherpa Crusaders and Sherpa Jura.
All I've got to say is, who would you rather be? Would you rather be Fiji or would you rather be the Crusaders?
Well, you'd rather be Fiji, wouldn't you?
Oh, you would be, yeah. You got nothing to lose, do you? Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. You've seen You've seen the way that the Crusaders played. You'd fancy your chances. You'd fancy your chances. But who have we got next week as well, our fixtures? Highlanders versus the Waratahs will be a good game.
Who are you going to pick for that one?
Oof, got Highlanders. Got to.
Got to pick the Highlanders, second team, yep.
Moana Pacifica versus the Rebels. Moana Pacifica at
home. That's going to be tough.
You know.
I'm not sure. I reckon they'll be so high from winning that they won't be able to back it up.
That's a true sign of donkey, isn't it?
Yeah, the lads will be woo, woo, all this week.
Oh, come on, the boys. Yes, the boys, the lads. Oh, let's have cover. Let's have cover.
Yeah, exactly. They would have been out celebrating, those lads.
The Rebels. This is a tough week, isn't it? Then we've got Hurricanes, Blues. Yeah.
Oh, you've got to go the Blues, don't you?
You have to. And then Reds, Chiefs.
You got to go Chiefs. Mind you, Reds are at home. Could be interesting.
Reds are at home. Reds have close game last week. They'll want to build on that, won't they?
A lot of lost in the tank, though. Do you know what I mean? They went right down to the wire, didn't they? Golden Point lost it. So hard for them to dust themselves off and go against arguably the best team in the comp. And that brings me to my next one, which is Chiefs' complete dominance. I didn't see this one coming. I thought that they'd win against the Brumbies, but the manner they won was, it was impressive.
Yeah,
they cut Shawnee Stevenson.
Shawnee Stevenson. If he doesn't make the All Blacks this year, by Gringotts.
I know. And especially with Jordan not being available, this kid is turning it on yet again. I mean, his left-to-right pass he gave in the game, there where they scored in the corner, was just showed how far he's come.
He's put a lot of work in the last couple of years. You know, we were so surprised that he didn't make the team last year. Arguably, he should have.
Yeah.
But then he hasn't let that get to him.
No.
You know.
I'm excited, eh?
And you could say the same about Hoskins Satutu,
You can. Definitely Hoskins. He could have signed something, Shawnee Stevenson overseas. Could have gone to the Dolphins, All of these things. They've stuck around and they do need to be. What I would like to say is Will Jordan, even when he comes back, okay, I'm not a fan that he plays on the wing.
But I think
he's a fullback, right? But he's a hell of a winger as well.
Oh, yeah. He finishes for fun,
and Shawnee Stevenson and him. On the pitch, bloody hell. Both got massive boots.
Yep.
Both can pass beautifully.
Both have more toe than a Roman sandal.
Absolutely, mate. And now I've got to mention it. The Crusaders losing to the Tars.
Yeah. Village.
It was very depressing, I have to say. It almost spoiled my whole weekend. I think by Sunday afternoon, I got over it.
Really?
Slightly.
I hate losing.
And to the Tars as well. To the Tars, who I tipped to be the worst team in the competition.
You did. And guess where the Crusaders are?
Oh, are they at the bottom?
Third from
bottom.
They're
right at the bottom.
They're on 1 point.
It was terrible though.
Jura like and the line out. Force.
It was like the line out. The Tars nailed the Crusaders in the lineout. The Tars won the ruck. These are all things.
I don't know. It was just not Crusader-like.
I don't think they dominated us, but what was the score,
Damien?
Yeah, we got our asses caned, didn't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yep. It's two losses in a row.
Oh, don't. I think you'll still win it. No way, mate. No way. Centre.
Oh.
Crusader centre. New fella who's good. Come across.
Yes. From
good from me.
Yeah,
from
where's
Moana
he from?
Pacifica.
Yes.
Moana Pacifica.
Good player.
They finally got it right with him towards the end of the game. Crash ball merchant like it. Yeah. But he does look a bit unfit.
He's a big boy.
that New Zealand dollar has gone into the
KFC's
pack and save
back pocket.
Oh yeah. So I think he could be very good, and he could be good for New Zealand as well off the bench. So if he can just get a bit fitter, could be a hell of a player. And the only other one I want to mention is, and I think we've got to mention it, Jordy Barrett getting the red card.
Yeah, on his 100th match.
Was always a red.
Was it? I didn't actually see it, you know.
I'm surprised it wasn't a red in the game. It was upright. He never went down. Direct contact to the head with the shoulder. And what I wanted to say was, if this was an Owen Farrell incident, everyone would be like going bananas. He does need to look at his technique of tackling. It's not the first time I've seen him tackle.
No,
like
that's true. Yeah.
So yeah, mate, we've got a really good listener's question. Okay.
I'm ready.
Are you ready for this? Okay. The question is, this is from Jason Styles. G'day boys. I went to rugby league games in Las Vegas. It was an amazing experience. Should Super Rugby do the same? Take the games to Dubai, London, or Vegas? It could grow the game and get bigger markets overseas. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you for your time. So what he's trying to say is, do we do the Super Round somewhere else in the world?
Imagine doing
Doesn't
it in
need
LA.
To be Australia.
Japan.
LA? Japan? I think he's got something with London. I reckon you've got so many people from all around the world. Aussies, New Zealanders, you know, Fijians.
True.
You know, and you'd fill out a decent sized stadium easily. You could actually do it around the country as well. And you'd off the back of it, it'd be great for Super. I mean, let's be honest to say, if it came to the UK, we would go, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I'd go. Yeah, definitely.
And all of us supporters from the UK would be wanting to go and experience it. And there are a lot of supporters from the UK.
You'd get more numbers than what they did in Australia.
100%.
You know, I get that it is ideal because it's well placed. I get that it'll be lovely weather. And I get that it's probably quite a nice area for the players and things like that. But if you're wanting to grow the game, like you're saying, go somewhere else. Is it worth going to London? Yep, maybe. But are you going to grow the game that way? You know?
No.
Are you going to grow the game going to Dubai? You probably won't pack it out. You know, I know there's a lot of expats there, but will you grow the game going to Japan? Rugby's pretty big in Japan. You know, you've got to pick your place, don't you?
I agree with you. I think also on the flip side of the coin is, where do the players want to go? Because if they know each year they've got some pretty cool destination that they're going to be able to go to and have, you know, 3 days of festival rugby, I think the players would get behind it as well. It's second round in. You could make it first round.
You'd have to make it first round.
You know, so you'd that, have that to, so they
just because of the travel.
Just because of the travel. And you know, you could have teams, all the teams playing in that area beforehand, playing their warm-up matches, and then they go and play. But my question to you is on that, where would be your first three destinations? You've got to go a different destination each year. Where would your first destination be?
Well, just going back to pre-season, you know, you could play some French teams. You could play some English teams, couldn't you? You could play some Pro 14, you know, those sorts of things. You could play those as a pre-season and then kicks off in London, you know, and then you fly home that night or the next day ready for round two.
And also, it links in really well with European Six Nations, doesn't it? Because we're in a fallow week. Which means that the fallow week could be filled by the Super Round.
Correct.
Would fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, all of these rugby supporters who have who have been fed the Six Nations and then feel like they've got a week off can go and watch some rugby, you know, and they'd love it. So, mate, I think it's a winner-winner chicken dinner. But where would you go for a start? Are you saying go to London for a start?
I think go to England. I think you could have, you know, on the Friday night, you could have it in London. On the Saturday, you could have it in Manchester. And on the Sunday, you have it in Newcastle or Birmingham or something like that. You know, each day is in a different venue.
Different location.
Different location.
Quite like the idea of that.
You know, then you're
targeting. You go to France.
Then you're, exactly that. But then you're targeting different areas of fans. Now, I know that maybe London will be your biggest winner because you could get Twickenham or something like that. You know, you could get a big stadium. But if you planned it right, you could, you know, if Manchester United are away, you could fill Old Trafford or something like that.
Love the idea, mate. Love the idea. So,
London or England for a start, I think. Then maybe LA.
Why not Las Vegas?
Las Vegas or even Vancouver, you know.
Because, you know, if you went somewhere like Las Vegas, people, you know, it's like a destination that a lot of people around the world want to go to, don't they? So they can go to Las Vegas to go to the casinos as an excuse to go and watch the rugby.
Yeah.
You know? So I think Las Vegas has got to be done. And the other one, I would say, you've got to go Japan again, don't you? You've got to go Japan.
Yeah, I agree.
Massive market. Crowds loving it. France as well. I think you could arguably do one round in France, one round in, you know, Wales, and one round in England. Do you know what I mean? Or Ireland, you know, it'd be hell of a competition taking it to all those different places, mate.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. I've got a little who am I for you.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So you've got home and away again, all right?
Excellent.
To finish off
three?
The show. Two, home and
two.
Away.
Fine, yeah, beauty.
All right, so remember how we play. We go round, we do them by rounds, you pick up points. The least amount of points is good. At the moment, your record is 2 points, which is unbelievable. Now, I'm trying to wipe that smile off your face because I've gone for something slightly more difficult.
Slightly. Okay.
Still. Okay, so are you ready? Do you want to go home or away?
Home.
All right, home. So, date of birth, the 15th of February, 1997. He's 27 years old. He was born in Fiji and weighs 87 kg and is 179 centimetres tall.
That's a toughie.
Daryl toughie, mate.
That's a Daryl. Not a clue.
Okay. School. So this is round two. School, Hamilton Boys High. Clubs, Waikato, Crusaders, Tasman.
Richie Mwanga. I thought he was heavier than that.
Okay. So that's round two. We're on to round three now.
Okay.
Okay. International career. New Zealand Barbarians, one appearance, 2017. 2019 to current, New Zealand, 23 appearances, 75 points. North Island in 2020. So he's had 23 appearances, 75 points. Born in Fiji, went to Hamilton Boys High.
Is it Sivaris?
Are you going to stick with Sivaris? Because this is the last round. In fact, no, there's one more round, which is their position.
Okay.
So you are you saying Sivaris? You can change it next round.
How
tall
is he?
You can change it next round. 179.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Are you staying with Sivaris?
At the moment.
Okay, good. Positions, wing or centre? Current team, Crusaders.
Yeah, Sivaris. Centres?
Okay, mate. I know.
What?
I've never seen him play in the centres. But yes, you are right, Civi Rees. You got it at okay. 3 points, okay?
Yeah.
So now we're going away.
Yep.
All right? Here we go. So this person was born the 13th of June, 1990, 33 years old, birthplace, Scone, New South Wales, Australia, height 175 centimetres and weight 80 kgs.
Not a clue.
Okay, here we go. School, St. Gregory's College.
A school, not a Scooby-Doo, there's no point.
I know. Teams, 2011-2015, the Brumbies. 2014, New South Wales County Eagles. 2015-2017, Montpellier, 57 appearances. 2017-2020, Exeter Chiefs, 61 appearances. 2020-23, the Brumbies, 55 appearances, and 2024, Western Force.
I don't know.
No idea. So you've got to think about someone that played for the Brumbies and this year moved to the Western Force, who is 80 kgs and 175 centimetres.
It's not Callaway, is it?
Okay, moving on. All right, is that your bet, yeah? Okay, teams, international. So 2023 to current, Australia, 66 appearances, 46 points.
Not Callaway.
Okay, and we got one more round.
Not Scooby-Doo.
Positions, scrum half.
Oh, is it Ben White? No, not Ben White. It's White.
What's Nick White. Yes, you're Nick right, White. Mate.
Yeah.
You're right. You got there in the end, didn't you?
I only got there because I'm crying because I've done so badly. I only got that because of the position. I wouldn't have got there any other way.
I would have got it when it was went from Brumbies to the Western Force.
Okay.
I would have got it there. Mate, listen, that's the end of the show. What can people do to support us?
Like, share, subscribe, 5-star review, email in, message in, Patreon, link is below. Just listen.
Okay.
We've also got another podcast that comes out on a Saturday, so make sure you listen to that also.
Absolutely, mate. Until next time.
See you later.
Mate, I just have to put these jingles and stuff in so I can put them underneath later on.
Okay.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.